everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, July the 12th, 2012. The home of The Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's also the station with the big reach, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and you can hear our program. We post it to three different venues, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, Tucson's online news service, and tucsoncitizen.com, also carrying the Buckmaster Show. We have another full lineup of guests for you. Every 10 minutes or so, we give you another guest to keep things moving along. Today, we get things rolling with Anne Eve Peterson. She is heading the effort to make the 1 cent sales tax permanent for education. 20 minutes past the hour, the one-year anniversary for a grassroots effort to provide daycare for emergency services employees in our community. Then, with 30 minutes past the hour, the Buckmaster Show candidate series spotlights Moher Sidwa, one of three Democrats battling for two open seats in the Arizona legislature from District 9. Then we'll close out the show with our legal advisor, attorney Don Luce, who brings us up to date on several important legal stories. We encourage you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can submit questions using our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Governor Jan Brewer this week said she is opposed to a proposed permanent 1 cent per dollar increase in the state sales tax. Quality Education and Jobs last month filed initiative petitions in hopes that Arizona voters in November will agree to permanently keep the state sales tax at 6.6%. But a day after they filed those petitions, Secretary of State Ken Bennett rejected them, saying the language on the petitions did not match the language filed with his office. Maricopa County Superior Court will hear that case next Wednesday. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Anne Eve Peterson, the president of the Arizona Education Parent Network. Anne Eve, how are you today?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Anne Eve, where are we now with this the court case? It goes to a judge next week, and are you confident that this will be put on the ballot?
You know, we're very confident, Bill, and that's because we fully complied with the law here. The state constitution has four specific requirements that you must meet, and if you meet those, the Secretary of State is required to put the initiative on the ballot, and we did meet all of those requirements. We also followed the requirements in the statute. Secretary of State Bennett's position is that because the paper copy that we filed had a slight variance with the official copy, which was submitted by DISC, that he was allowed to disqualify the petition. That is not what the law states or the Constitution. And so we're confident that the judicial system will uphold the voter rights that are protected in the Constitution and in our state statutes and put this on the ballot. The court ruling next Wednesday will be at the Maricopa County Superior Court level. That decision will go to the Arizona State Supreme Court for a final ruling, and we probably won't have a final determination until probably mid-August, at this point.
We're speaking with Annie Peterson, Chair of Quality Education and Jobs. I'm sure you are not happy, Anne Eve, with that piece in the Arizona Republic from Robert Robb, the Republic columnist, who said that your initiative deserves to be tossed from the ballot for incompetence.
Well, you know, here's the issue. The Secretary of State's office has a duty to voters not to use a hyper-technicality to try and undo the will of almost 300,000 voters in the state of Arizona. And several other Republic columnists, Lori Roberts and E.J. Montini, have taken him to task for doing just that. And so I think the conduct that we need to be really closely examining is the conduct of the Secretary of State's office and asking why he is bending over backwards to try and undo voter intent of almost 300,000 voters who signed the petition. Every single petition was attached to a copy of the ballot language, which matched the ballot language that was submitted to his office electronically. So I think there's an attempt here to, you know, divert attention away from the person who is responsible for trying to thwart the will of Arizona voters, and that is Secretary of State Ken Bennett.
Is it true that almost 300,000 people signing, was that a record?
It was a record. It's the most signatures that have ever been submitted in Arizona history for a statutory initiative. And I think that it's really fitting that this happens, you know, in our centennial year in Arizona. And I don't know that everybody realizes that back when Arizona was created as a state, we received this right in our state constitution from the state founders to put forward initiatives like this, because they realized that it was an important check and balance in a strong democratic system, that if you have an executive branch, if you have a legislative branch that are out of sync with voters, then voters can come forward, regular citizens can come forward and say, we want to redirect the path that our state is headed down. And that's what we're doing. We are a volunteer parent organization. We started working on this more than a year ago because we were very dismayed at what we were seeing from people who had been elected to office in terms of just their lack of making education a priority in the state. And so we felt that we had no other choice but to go to voters and ask them to, you know, specifically direct exactly how they want their tax dollars spent, which is what an initiative allows you to do. And I think the powers that be, the Ken Bennett's of the world, the Dan Brewer's of the world, don't like the fact that what this represents really is citizens, taxpayers, taking matters into their own hand and saying, this is how we want our tax dollars spent. This is direct democracy, and they find that very threatening. And I think that's why you find people, again, who should be upholding the law, upholding the Constitution, deciding instead to try and thwart direct democracy, because they feel very threatened by it.
We're speaking with Annie Peterson. She's chairing up this group, the Quality Education and Jobs Initiative. It's Proposition 204. And let's talk a little bit about what it will do. It will renew the 1 cent sales tax when it expires in 2013. This would create a permanent dedicated revenue source for education across the spectrum. Annie, quickly point out a few of the bullet points, the highlights of this measure.
Sure. This will, as you mentioned, create a permanent dedicated revenue source for education, and this is education across the spectrum. It's K-12, vocational education, community colleges, universities, and adult GED programs. It will also create scholarships for in-state community college and university students, and because of the state budget cuts, we're all very aware that tuition has just skyrocketed in the state, and we're pricing students out of being able to go on and obtain, you know, a higher education in Arizona. So this will help rectify that. In addition, as a voter protection that was necessary, this prevents the legislature from making any further cuts to K-12. So what we wanted to do is make sure that voters have the assurance that when they pass this, the money will be directed as they want it directed, and that the legislature can't come in and somehow undercut that by taking money out of education in another, you know, way.
And that initiative is coming at a time when state lawmakers actually have passed a series of new education reforms, including something called Move On When Reading. A bit about some of those new standards that have been set.
Well, in the next 2 years, educators and students are going to have to comply with a whole new set of much more rigorous reforms and accountability measures that have been passed by the legislature, but have been, for the most part, not funded. One of those is Move On When Reading, which you were referencing, and that's the requirement that third graders must be reading at grade level or they will be held back. Another reform that is coming online is the new school and district rating system. It's an A through F ranking, and in order to get a good ranking, you have to move up your lowest achieving students. So there is a growth requirement there that was never required before in the previous rankings of schools and districts. Another reform is the new requirement that a third to one half of teacher and principal evaluations will be linked directly to how their students are performing on standardized tests. And the final reform that's coming online, Arizona is joining 44 other states in adopting a much more rigorous curriculum requirement called the Common Core. And as part of that, Arizona will be also adopting a new standardized test called PARC, which will replace AIMS. So students are going to have to meet a much higher level of performance now in order to do well on that test, and yet the state has not provided resources to help train teachers in teaching to the new standards or help the schools that need to be brought up to speed in terms of technology, because the new test is an online assessment.
Now, go ahead, Anne. I was just going to say that the knock on the current situation with the sales tax is that the money really didn't go to education. This way, the voters would be guaranteed that there would be this dedicated source.
That's right, and we receive that question a lot, because I think people assume that when we pass Prop 100, all of those funds were going to education, and that is not what happened. Remember, that was drafted by the legislature and Governor Brewer. This has been drafted by citizens who are very intent on seeing that every dollar is spent as we, the taxpayers, direct. So the legislature will not have the leeway to be able to do that. They must spend this money as is expressed in the ballot language.
And you,
when this is approved.
And you continue to get endorsements from numerous business groups. Of course, CEOs have been very open, Annie Peterson, in their criticism of Arizona's education system, saying we're just not preparing our kids for the 21st century.
That's right. They have been very vocal about that, and we've been very grateful to see the state's two major CEO organizations, Southern Arizona Leadership Council in Southern Arizona and Greater Phoenix Leadership in the Phoenix area, endorse this initiative. And we've received just numerous endorsements from many, many groups, a very broad spectrum of organizations that really want to see this passed and are going to be part of the grassroots network that helps us get it passed in November.
Where can people get more information about the initiative?
Well, if they'd like more information, they can come to our website, and it's www.qualityeducationandjobs.com. And there's information there, more details about the initiative, and then ways that people can get involved if they want to be part of the grassroots team that will get this passed this November.
So in summary, this goes to the court next week, and then you would imagine some kind of resolution in August. Is that what you're saying?
This will have to be resolved by around August 24th, because that's when the Secretary of State's office sends the publicity pamphlet to the printer. But we're hoping for a resolution sooner than that, so this issue can just get settled and we can all move on.
Okay. Annie Peterson, thank you very much for spending some time with us talking about the initiative Quality Education and Jobs. It's Prop 204. Anne, Eve, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 12:18, this is the Thursday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs, and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our program provided by the support coming from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, 3 years after Tucson police officer Eric Height was shot and killed by a man who led authorities on a crosstown shooting spree, the foundation named in his honor celebrated its first anniversary of a daycare center for law enforcement and military families. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Eric Height's widow, Naomi Height, who opened the center after creating the Eric Height Foundation, which was established to operate the daycare center and provide other outreach programs for those families. And it's good to see you again, Naomi.
Thank you.
And I want to congratulate you in the 1 year that you have had this daycare center. It's been very successful, so successful that you really need to kind of expand right away, don't you?
That's right. That's right. We've served in the whole year. We've had so many children coming to our center from all the agencies, law enforcement, firefighters, and military families. at least 40 children we have in our system that have come at some point, one point, parents, dealing with probably grandma is not watching them because she's, at the hospital, whatever their circumstances is, they have brought the children temporarily. Just, it doesn't have to have a whole contract. Our program is just affordable, but it's flexible. It's flexible so that we can serve them as much as we can.
The area that you have touched on, there is a real need in this community for the law enforcement families. This is a kind of a safe environment. They can go in right before duty in their uniform. Yes. And it's just a very comforting environment, isn't it?
It is. It is for the parents. Once they walk in, they know that there's, it's a family-oriented center in that there's family there. All the children are in the same line of duty, even if they are different agencies, but they have the same mentality. They can walk in on, with their uniform, and they will not feel scared leaving their children there with us because they know who we are.
And we were just talking, and you were with me here as we were doing the interview with Annie Peterson about this education initiative. And education is something that is very close to your heart. You have a 5-year-old daughter. Yes. And do you try to do child development at the daycare center?
We definitely do. As the babies, we take care of 6-week-old baby, and they're development starts right there, with this little brain.
They start learning from birth.
From birth, that's exactly right. From every little goo-goo to every little toy that we provide and books, but all the way to 5 years old. And our goal for this center for this year is to turn it into a child development center and get them ready for school. Because if it doesn't start right now, they are not going to succeed.
What are the costs that you're looking at for your renovation?
For right now, it's going to be $20,000. There's some cost with all the items that we need to open the room, like from cribs all the way to toys and books for the infants, because the biggest need right now we have is infants, babies 1 and 2 years old as well. We have 11 families on a waiting list that we need to help with this child care program. And so we're trying to raise $20,000 in the next month and a half. And all the information is posted on our website, how people can help us to raise and help these families, because you never know which police officer is going to be helping you out there today.
It's such a stressful job.
Yes.
I mean, the people that are in our first responders, it's stressful. And I think it must help them, give them peace of mind to know they can drop off the kids in a real nice, safe environment.
That's correct. Yeah. That's exactly right. We've had so many talks with the parents, and they said, we walk out of here knowing that our children are safe and well taken care of and loved because, who we are, and they can go to work without worrying. It's one less thing that they have to worry about with this stressful job.
Well, you certainly are to be congratulated, and Eric is smiling, I'm sure, in heaven about what you have done with this Eric Height Foundation named in his honor, which you created in 2009, and then with the daycare getting going over the past year. And obviously, you have touched a nerve with first responders and their families, because this is your center is so popular now that, you need to expand. You say you've got, 11 families?
11 families, that's
correct.
That
are on the waiting list. Mm-hmm. Now, for more information, Eric, that's E-R-I-K, Height, H-I-T-E, Foundation, altogether.org, and that has where folks can donate.
That's correct. All the renovation, remodeling campaign that we're doing right now, it's everything on the website. They can donate. They can in-kind donations. If there's a contractor out there right now listening to to this interview and want to, in-kind donation for this renovation, please give us a call. It's 520-495-0430, 520 1-800-495-0430 is the phone number, or the website, like you just said, erichheitfoundation.org. And please help us to raise this money as soon as possible and do this renovation as soon as possible as well, and get all these families in the program.
And you've been doing other events too with the foundation.
Oh, yes. We do a lot of outreach programs and fundraising events out there. We recently got our third softball tournament back in May, and we had 14 teams from all the departments, law enforcement and military teams, that came together to play and raise money for our center as well. And they had such a great time.
Well, out of a horrible tragedy, the death of your husband, the shooting death of your husband, you have turned this into a positive to help other people. And Naomi Height, you are to be congratulated. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Again, go to erichheitfoundation.org for more information. We're coming up now on the halfway point of this Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show candidate series continues right after we hear from this great lineup of people who support Buckmaster.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The day after hearing from Mitt Romney that he would serve African Americans better than Barack Obama can, the NAACP heard a rebuttal of sorts today from Vice President Biden. Attorneys for some of Jerry Sandusky's victims say today's report from investigators who looked into Penn State's handling of the allegations against Sandusky is absolutely devastating to the school. The lawyers say the report shows that school officials at the highest level knew that Sandusky was preying on children. The British military will now have more than 17,000 personnel at the London Olympics later this month, far more than the 9,500 troops the country has in Afghanistan. Checking Wall Street, the Dow is up 1 point, while the NASDAQ is down 15. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world, with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our program is brought to you by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's great over there. 3.5 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. If you're looking to get away from the hot, muggy weather here in Tucson, Silver City has a mile-high elevation. There's lots to do, a lot of hiking and fishing and great accommodations like the Faywood Hot Springs Resort. I strongly suggest that you go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. This might be a great weekend to get away from it all and head over, head east, 3.5 hours to Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Well, we continue now with our ongoing candidate series on the Buckmaster Show. This is our effort to introduce our listeners to the candidates running for August in the upcoming primary. The District 9 will be our focus today, which runs from Interstate 10 on the north side of town, east through the Catalina foothills and the Casas Adobes neighborhood into Midtown Tucson and to Sabino Canyon. There are three Democrats vying for two open seats created in the House when Steve Farley moved into the Senate race and Representative Bruce Wheeler found himself in another district. The three Democrats are Dustin Cox, Victoria Steele, and Moher Sarah Sidwa. And she is our guest today on the Buckmaster Show. And the lone Republican in the race is Ethan Orr. Moher, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about this campaign that you are launching. You are a longtime Democratic activist. You lost by a very, very narrow margin in the Democratic primary in 2010. I guess it was, what, less than 500 votes?
Less than 500 votes. It was very narrow. And it made me realize that with just a little more polish and a little more hard work, I could do well. So,
but you've been known to be working very hard. And the last campaign, you went door to door and spoke to every imaginable group.
Even groups that I didn't know existed. If there were 7 people who wanted me to speak to them, I'd speak to them. And it makes a difference. I wasn't worried or scared. I would just go talk to them respectfully, and that does it. And that's retail campaigning.
It's introducing yourself, really, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
And selling yourself to the electorate. What are your issues in this campaign?
My main issue is education.
That seems to be our theme
right,
of today's show.
But in my case, with particular emphasis on a skilled workforce at the end of the process, including for kids who are not college-bound, they need to be literate, not just in reading and writing, but also in math and the sciences. This is a high-tech world and a high-tech economy we have to compete with. And, of course, my second major issue is women's issues. I come from a part of the world where women have few rights, and I'm appalled at what's happening to women's rights in Arizona, based on what this legislature is trying to pass and has succeeded in passing. I can't see that happening on my watch. I will not let that happen.
Tell us a little bit about your particular background.
I was born in India. I still have a bit of the accent.
Mm-hmm, a little bit.
Yeah. And when I was young, my parents split. My mom brought me to Pakistan. I'd come to the States when I was 16 during the Watergate hearings, and I got exposed to the Watergate hearings. It made me reach out and read the founding documents. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And the first thing I read was the Bill of Rights. For some reason, they gave that to me first at the library. And I fell in love with them. It opened up new realities to me, new political realities and possibilities. So when I was 19, I had the option of coming to the States. And I remembered that document. And I remembered how I felt, how safe I felt having read them. So I came. And I have never regretted that decision. Never.
We're speaking with Mohur, and that's M-O-H-U-R. Sarah, your middle name, Sidhwa, that's S-I-D-H-W-A. As I recall your signs, I remember when they went up in 2010, the name being so different from what people are used to. They didn't know perhaps whether you were a man or a woman.
They didn't. And despite that, I got so many votes because I spoke to people. I heard their issues. I connected with them because I've lived in Tucson 31 years now. And I've been active on many boards and commissions and other civic organizations. So I have a deep regard for Arizona, especially Southern Arizona, and they know me.
And you have added to the signs your middle name, Sarah, so now
folks, they know my gender.
So education, women's issues, very important
and
to
economy.
You. And the economy.
It has to be the economy.
Yeah,
it
everybody's
all
talking
ties
about
together.
Jobs and this. So how do we get things going?
Right,
again
it
here?
All ties together. Yeah. And until you realize the close connection between an excellent education and the economy, nothing's going to happen. So by cutting off funding for educational institutions, including our universities, which are the engines of job creation and businesses, like our high-tech industry, I'm very proud of the way our high-tech industry has weathered this economic storm. They are the one shining light. And the U of A research arms have really been instrumental with getting that going. And there is a deep partnership between our high-tech industry and our research universities. And we cannot neglect both and expect to succeed as a state. I would certainly look at immediate job creation. I don't want to wait another 10 years hoping things will change for the better.
And we have to retrain people, too. People who have been laid off and perhaps professions that are going nowhere, we need to retrain them.
Not only that, but let's focus on those who are not trained at all. As they are graduating from high schools, let's pop those not college-bound into exciting fields so that way they don't feel tempted to drop out if they're looking at an exciting future in the high-tech industry, because that's what keeps people motivated. And in school, they see a sense of excitement out there. And I have seen, I mentor kids, older children, usually between 15 and 17, while they're deciding what to do next with their lives. And more often than not, I start talking about the high-tech industries and the variety of things they could do in it.
And something goes off. You see the lights.
You do. There's a sense of eureka in them.
Yeah, like, oh, boy, really?
Yes. I didn't. Yes, and so I would love to see apprenticeship programs, especially businesses, well, like a public-private partnership, with the businesses telling us what they need, and they have to do their two bit and take the responsibility of telling us what they need and then having them on as apprentices and interns. That's how we grow the economy.
You'll be involved and are involved in a three-way Democratic primary. The top two vote-getters then will go on to face, will be involved with Ethan Orr. There'd be then a three-way general election for the two seats. Mm-hmm. Is this district favorable to Democrats?
Slightly, yes.
Slightly?
Slightly. It's 37% Democrats, 33% Republican, and 29% Independents. Moderate Republicans and the Independents, the homes that I've been walking, I've been well received. So they are not radicalized one way or the other. You know, Arizona Republicans are a fairly moderate bunch, despite what people may think. I love them. I used to split the ticket when I used to vote in the beginning. But there were people to split them for. There was Pete Hirschberger. There was Tony Helen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're saying that they were definitely Tony and Mr. Hirschberger considered moderates.
Yes,
yeah.
And they represent Southern Arizona well.
Where can people find out more about you? On your website?
On my website. It's sidhwa2012.com. I will have to spell it.
Yes.
SIDHWA2012.com. Sidhwa2012.com. I'm also on Facebook. If you are so inclined, you can find me as Mohorsera Sidhwa2012.
Okay. Well, we are delighted to have talked with you and wish you luck in the upcoming primary. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking about some important legal issues with our legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show, Don Luce. That's next. Stay with us.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and once a month, it's always our pleasure to welcome Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, attorneys with offices in Phoenix and here in Tucson. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Great to be back.
And it is wonderful to see you bringing your new book, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. This is the second edition, and we've talked about it a little bit in the past. You said it would be a little heavier.
It is a little
this
heavier.
This book is a little heavier, and that is reflecting in all of the new laws, I guess.
Well, the law is constantly changing, Bill, and the new book includes all of the updates since the original version came out. I was amazed, actually, at the number of changes that have occurred. But then again, we live in Arizona, and that's what we're becoming known for, a state of change.
And, you know, it's like a day doesn't go by where there's some kind of legal issue that seems to be on the front page of the paper in Arizona. So it gives both you and I plenty of food for thought and things to talk about. I also want to mention that Don's other book is Estate Planning in Arizona, a very important topic and what you need to know. He boils it down in language that is very easy to understand. Don, let's begin with this lawsuit now that Bill Montgomery, a former Republican congressman and the Maricopa County attorney, is spearheading an effort now to oppose the proposed constitutional amendment that would end partisan primaries in Arizona. This is getting a lot of publicity, the so-called open government, open elections ballot.
It is. This is actually a proposed constitutional amendment by initiative. The amendment is being spearheaded by former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson. Now, what you had referred to is the threat that has been made by the Maricopa County attorney to actually file a lawsuit to challenge the initiative. So if the lawsuit is successful, then the initiative will not appear on the ballot. But if the lawsuit fails, then in November, Arizona voters will be voting upon what's been called a top two ballot initiative. And what that means is that we would have an open primary under this initiative where, as opposed to how we do it now, there wouldn't be Democratic candidates, there wouldn't be Republican candidates, there would not be Libertarian candidates. It would simply be a roster of people seeking to get the top two number of votes, and then the top two vote getters would be in the general election, regardless of their party affiliation. So that's a pretty big change, because right now we sort of ensure a space for all of the recognized political parties. Under this initiative, if it's passed, that would change.
And Mr. Montgomery told the Arizona Capital Times, at last count, there are 51 statutes affected by this initiative. And he said that flies in the face of what the Arizona Constitution – you must limit this to a single subject.
Right. It's a technical argument. I don't know that it's not a good argument, because technicalities sometimes win the day. But the Arizona Constitution does say that amendments must be limited to a single subject. And so the challengers to this initiative are saying that it's not limited to a single subject, and therefore, it cannot go on the ballot. It'll be interesting to see how this actually plays out.
And Governor Brewer wanted to bring lawmakers back into special session. That just didn't happen. She had her own measure that she wanted to put on the ballot that with some kind of minor tweaking that was involved.
Right. Yeah. She was looking for a legislative referral that would have essentially competed with the initiative that we just discussed. Under her proposal, if you will, the top two primary vote getters would be required to disclose their party affiliation on the ballot so that voters would know whether they were Democrats, Republicans, whatever. That, interestingly, is not required by the initiative. So theoretically, the top two vote getters, if the initiative passes, could appear on a ballot at some point in the future without a party affiliation designated.
We're speaking with Don Luce. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on legal affairs. Don joins us at least once a month here on the program, and he is the author of Arizona Laws 101, which is hot off the press. Right before me, the second edition, lots of updates with his new book. And your next appearance on the Buckmaster Show will coincide with a new Arizona law, Don Luce. That will be a law outlawing internet stalking. That measure will go into effect on August the 2nd.
Indeed. And this is one of the bills that was signed into law by Governor Brewer during the last legislative session. It's kind of interesting because this new law really pitted the free speech advocates versus the advocates that say, we have to expand the definition of harassment and stalking to include text messages and emails, sort of bringing it in to the 21st century. We've had since the 70s, by the way, stalking and harassment statutes on the books, but they haven't applied to electronic forms of communication. And so this new statute, which is HB 2549, will be expanded, will expand that concept to include electronic communications. But interestingly, it will not apply to Facebook or other social networking sites because in order for something to be considered a crime under this new statute, it will have to be directed to a specific individual. And the thought is that freedom—
Well, if you have a lot of friends on Facebook, it's not a specific—
Exactly. And this goes back to the First Amendment, which, of course, allows us freedom of speech and guarantees it, indeed, as a constitutional right. And so if you're directing a message in a text or in an email to a specific individual and it's intended to harass that person or you're electronically stalking that person, then under this new law, which will take effect August 2nd, you could be charged and convicted of a crime.
Don Luce is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about all the current legal items that are making headlines, and one of them has to do with, and some might say, Don Luce, Attorney General Tom Horn, is at it again.
Well, he's I don't know if he's at it again, but he's back to the Supreme Court again.
Back to the, yeah, state versus the federal government.
Indeed. And what he's advocating in this case is that the state of Arizona ought to be allowed to cancel insurance benefits for the domestic partners of state workers. And the history of this is, in my estimation, very interesting because it goes back all the way to 2008 when Janet Napolitano was our governor, and she instructed the Department of Administration to essentially rewrite the rules so that dependents included someone living with the employee for at least a year. Now, this applies to state employees and university workers. So the University of Arizona is included, Arizona State University, and everybody who works for the state of Arizona. That was changed almost as soon as it was made because Governor Napolitano, as you know, went to the Department of Homeland Security, and she was replaced by Governor Brewer, mm-hmm. who in 2009 directed that partners of unmarried employees be excluded. Well, that led to litigation. The case wound its way up to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit unanimously said Arizona cannot exclude unmarried employees from this insurance coverage. It said, on the one hand, The state does not have an obligation to provide health insurance for its workers, but if it does provide those benefits, it cannot do so in an arbitrary or discriminatory manner.
Don Luce, I want to carve out the last minute of our time together to talk a little bit about Arizona Laws 101. The second edition is just out. This is a handbook for non-lawyers, and I was mentioning at the beginning of the segment, it's a little heavier than the weight of the first edition, and that reflects some new laws that you've included.
I went through each of the 101 chapters, and I updated the chapters to reflect the changes to the law. I wasn't really sure what the finished product would look like, but the book actually went from about 68,000 words to about 75,000 words. So, indeed, there were a lot of changes, and there are a lot of new laws in the last several years. And I think that's reflected in the headline news that we see every day about things that are happening in Arizona that are really cutting edge legally. And so the second edition of Arizona Laws 101 includes all of those changes and updates.
And the book is available?
It's available at retail bookstores and also at Amazon.com.
Don Luce, thank you very much for being with us. Have a great week.
Thanks, Phil. My pleasure.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services for your home and business. What is it about Culligan water that I like? Well, folks, it's very simple. It simply tastes better. Culligan water. That's going to do it for the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, Fletcher McCusker, head of the Rio Nuevo Board, will be our Friday Focus interview. Plus, of course, we'll talk about the week's top stories on our Friday Reporters Roundtable. And Matt Russell does Weekend Watch. That's tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back with you tomorrow.